I need to look at my script or else I will die.
Hi, welcome to... Oh.
Hi, welcome to... What was the show called again? What are we doing today? I'm nothing if not Ron Burgundy. Don't put anything new in here. All right. Hey, welcome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanatic here on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails.
Well, welcome back, everybody.
Well, hi there.
Well, hi there. I was very much hoping you would pick up on the fact that I wanted you to be the Southern Cat.
I know my cues.
Yeah, be the Southern Cat, Danny. Go, do it.
Perform. Well, hi there.
Well, hi there. Oh, my God. We're back. We are minus one Linry.
Yeah.
But, oh, boy, that was such a good episode.
That was a good episode. That was a lot of fun. She's a lot of fun. Except when she clipped her nails with cat clippers. Then we all... We're still having fun, but it's like, it's like a thrill ride mixed with feelings of fear, anguish.
It's like the kind of fun you have when one of your friends is like, hey, I found a body down by the railroad tracks. Do you want to see it?
Yeah, because you're still with your friends, but now the situation is a little bit spooky. It's a little bit unsettling.
You're still with your friends, and you've made a very, very lasting memory.
Yeah.
A memory that we like to call trauma. That you bond with your friends over the trauma.
Yeah.
And that's what we did in my stream on Friday. Because everybody's like, watch it! Watch it! And I did. See, I always feel bad for not making it to Linry streams, especially since, like... I don't have to be at work on Thursdays, but I am usually like out of the house and like doing stuff. But if I watch Linry's stream, we couldn't do live reactions to Linry's stream on my stream.
Right? We need that fresh content.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really doing Linry a favor when I don't watch her in real time. Everybody else is... Oh my God, though. It was so bad.
It was...
I had a different idea. There's a different kind of trimmer that I do know they do use for cats. Mm. And I do know they do use for acrylic nails. A similar kind of like guillotine trimmer.
Yeah, yeah. It goes up like that. Yeah.
And I foolishly thought perhaps that was what she was going to use.
That's what I was picturing too.
It would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't make me throw up a little bit in my mouth.
Nope. The scissor kind.
No, we
kind.
Did have a little bit of mouth throw up. It was the scissor kind. Yeah, and she... I'll describe for the audience. So maybe skip ahead a few seconds if you don't want to hear this. But she had her long nail,
mm-hmm.
and she came in from the side
yeah.
with the kitty claw trimmer, where she put the end of the claw trimmer, you know, where it comes in from the circle... at the middle of her nail and then cut. And let me tell you, that was not a cut, it was a crush. And she was like, ow. And it was like, yeah, ow, what the heck. Linery's like, I am here to boil my phone and trim my nails with cat claw trimmers, and there is nothing
we cannot stop her.
Nothing
she cannot
you
be
do
stopped
about it.
Queen of chaos.
Yeah, she like please, Linry, you need to just change your channel name to Don't Try This at Home. It's like Jackass the Nail Art.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
But yeah, no, it is awesome. Like, as much as I'm making fun of her, it was so funny and it's so wild she would do that.
Oh, she knew. That was a calculated move. She knew exactly what would happen.
Yeah, I think she did, which does make it a bit worse. Oh boy. But how have you been, Danny? How have you been since our last episode?
I've been good. Things have calmed down a little bit at work, which has been nice. knock on some wood for me, everybody. It doesn't get crazy again. Thanks, Steph.
You're welcome. I'm trying to think. This is probably the closest thing I have to wood back.
Yeah, particle board counts, I think. But yeah, I think I'll be talking a little bit more next episode on all that. But yeah, things have been calmed down, and which is nice. It's cooling down. Finally, I can go outside and not just hate everything, which is refreshing. So yeah, how have you been?
I've been pretty good. I've been focusing a lot on a lot of my other hobbies and art forms. Mm. I've been drawing a lot. I drew this really amazing tarot card of Bromzy and Greta from The Boy. and I'm really, really in love with it. So that's been super awesome. And I've been working on my fanfic, and I've been working on my Fallout campaign, my tabletop Fallout game, which I'm painting a bunch of minis for. And I was so excited today because I got a water effect.
Nice.
I got a little bottle of stuff that looks like water, and I painted this big old super mutant, and I put little drops of water in this thing beneath him, and it looks so cool. So it made me so happy.
Are you going to start posting your minis to your new art Instagram? Or are you going to have a new Instagram?
You know, I've been thinking about that, and maybe I'll ask my husband what he thinks. Mm. I think I would probably have a third Instagram. It's been very easy because I do have an art Instagram, and it is, well, everybody knows the stuff that I post on my nail Instagram and everywhere except for this podcast is stuff that is not for children. It is not extremely explicit usually. Well, no, that's a lie. I'm not going to put that in.
Are you sure about that?
Am I sure about that? I am not sure about that. So yeah, like it is Instagram appropriate, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do have a art account now. It's called What I Sketch Today. I am doing the mediocre Manny style of keeping the expectations low. This isn't called finished art pieces for you to gawk at.
Yeah.
This is like, I drew a violin today. Do you like it? I like it too. So like, yeah, so you can follow me. I'll link that below, and I might do another mini account, or I might do that account. I don't really know. I should start posting my minis though, because I am getting better and better, and it's so exciting to get more and more into one of these hobbies or crafts. And I try to like start things small usually, and it's kind of as I learn what I need and what I want, build up my collection and skills. We already have a huge collection of paints because my husband has been making minis like pretty much his entire life, like on and off. So we have like literally the entire, this is gonna be so boring for people who aren't into minis, but like literally the entire Citadel paints collection, which I hate Citadel, but here we are. We've got all of that, but I've been kind of like curating my brush collection and things like that. And it's just been really, really rewarding. And of course, my husband's super excited about it. But yeah, I do want to post my minis because I'm getting better and better at them. And they're so much fun. And I love painting skin. I never thought I would love painting skin, but I'm like painting skin and I'm like, oh yeah. Oh, look at that shading. Look at that color. Oh, I love it.
That's awesome.
But anyway, you didn't come here for that. Actually, you probably did. But but yeah, Danny,
yeah.
You made a purchase.
I did.
As you are wont to do.
As I have been saving up for, as I have been holding back for, I did. I purchased the Holo Taco Birthstones collection. And I feel weird calling it a collection, because that's where all the drama is coming from. It was a bundle, technically, and I bought the whole bundle because I'm crazy. Mm-hmm. But also, as I've like said that many times, yeah, it's what I do. I collect Holo Taco, and I'm not going to shy away from that. You know what I mean? So like, when people are like, oh, why'd you buy the whole thing? Because that's what I do. But you don't have to. And I don't think it was intended that way. So the Birthstone collection, 12-piece collection, biggest collection that Holo Taco has ever come out with. and it didn't come in a collector's box. So I don't think it was intended for people to buy the whole collection. It was,
weird.
I think it was supposed to be Battle of the Birthdays. I think it was supposed to be, here's a limited edition run of these 12 polishes, and we will bring back the most popular to create kind of a fun, like a little, like, Battle of the Birthday. I don't know how else to word that. You know what I mean? Like, a little popularity contest for the birthday polishes. I think that's what Hollow Taco had in mind when they released it, and me and apparently enough of other people went, nope, give me all of it. I love all of them. I want all of them. And they sold out. Yep. So the bundle's no longer available. I don't know if any of the shades are still available except for Birthday Brat, because they made the most of that one thinking that, you know, because it's Simply's birthday polish, that's what collectors would go for. But yeah, it's been a little bit...
I said fools.
No, really. First of all, the polishes are too good. You can't expect people to not buy beautiful polishes. It's been a little bit of some drama surrounding that because it did sell out so fast. Christine was very upset. Like, her Instagram story reflected that this is not at all what she wanted to happen. She hates when product sells out too fast, which is so funny because that's so not what most, like, I don't know if all creators feel that way, but it definitely, like, big corporations, they're like, yes, create the FOMO and all that stuff. Christine wants everybody to get the polish that they want. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
she was pretty upset about it. And I think they're scrambling to try and figure out, are they going to re-release the entire bundle? Are they going to do their original plan and only release the most popular shades? And of the most popular shades, how many? You know what I mean? Because if, like, 6 out of the 12 come back, that's pretty darn good. But were they only planning on, like, 2 or 3? I have no idea. But yeah, so I'm actually going to be watching that on stream today, not too long after we're done recording, and we'll see how they look. But they all, from the reviews I've seen, they all look absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah. I'm looking at our birthstone, which is Rider Diamond.
Yes, which I love that name.
Yeah, we are both Aries. We're both April Aries. And I am, I think I like it. I'm looking at it. And so what it is what it looks like. Can you describe this polish? You probably know what's going on in it more than me.
So Rider Diamond is basically a mix of a bunch of different types of hollows. So they've got the glitters, of course, but also some linear hollow, flakies. And the flakies are what make this kind of special. Like, they just add that little extra pop of holographic. There's also silver reflective glitter. So this one is made to just be obnoxiously shiny, which that's fits April Aries very well, I think. Funny enough, I'm not like, I'm excited about it because I'm very into my own birthstones and things like that.
Yeah.
We talked about it on stream, how I'm really bad about paying attention to any other zodiac sign and any other month besides April, because I'm just selfish in that department. Yeah. And I don't think that's a bad thing because this is all made up and it doesn't matter. But I'm excited about April, and it's going to be really fun. I'm not the biggest fan of these super packed glitter polishes because they're, you know, they're so textured. It's probably going to take like a couple layers of top coat to smooth it out, but it'll be gorgeous. I'm honestly really excited for March, which is Emerald City. Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. This, like, emerald green flaky bomb. Let's see what all they got in there. It's a green jelly with iridescent flakes. And then some, oh, was that it? No, they kept it simple. Yeah, it's really nice looking. I'm sure there's some scattered hollow in there. Looks like there's some scattered hollow. But yeah, it's really cool. They did a bunch of different, I mean, I think every formula is different and different from what they've done in the past. They're all very specialty, which means they're going to be really hard to restock. And I'm curious to see how things are going to go with that. So yeah, if you didn't manage to pick up the whole thing, don't worry about it. As Nicole Loves said in her review of it, like, there's always a dupe, especially for the really popular ones. Like, don't worry about it. You'll find something that fills that hole. But for me as a Hollow Taco collector, I'm just really excited that I managed to get the whole thing.
Yeah, no, that is, like, super exciting. And I was not as positive about this collection. until I just really saw it on the website and saw it all laid out next to each other. I don't really love an extremely varied collection. Mm. Like, that usually just kind of is, like, meh to me.
Yeah.
This does make sense because, like, they're all birthstones and they're all... I understand why they did it this time.
I feel the same way. And if this had come in a box, I actually would have been not as happy about it. Because if it comes in a box, I expect it to all kind of go together. If it comes in a box, I expect to be able to gradient it together. You know what I mean? But it didn't come in a box.
Yeah.
And therefore, my brain says that's okay for some reason.
I did hear one thing that I heard that people were annoyed about is that Christine, because October is her birth month, mm-hmm. decided to go with the, there's like two different birthstones yeah. you could go with for October, Opal, which sounds incredible, mm-hmm. and I think she made a bad choice, or Tourmaline. And so she went with pink Tourmaline, and I know that really upset a lot of October birthday people who would really have liked Opal.
I would have been totally fine with the 13 polish collection and her doing both birthstones for October. It's your birthday, girl. Do it. Because, yeah, Opal does sound amazing. I guess there are enough, like, pearlescent whites in the world or whatever, like, shimmers and stuff that you can get an Opal polish. But I would have liked to see what Holo Taco's take on Opal would be, because that's actually my favorite stone, like, out of the stones.
Yeah. Honestly, like, honestly, yeah, same. Honestly, like, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that, it would make sense, too, because you would do the opal polish and have some sort of opal pun or whatever, yeah. like every all the other ones. And then you have birthday brat.
Yeah.
You know, like, that makes sense. I don't really know. Maybe she just didn't think about it.
Or 12 was already pushing it, you know? 12 was already yeah. pushing it a lot. So I can imagine her being like, no, we can't do 13. There's no way. But you could have. I don't think she realized that how many people bought the whole thing. Yeah, I was a little disappointed in that. I'm so glad that April is one of those months that is pretty set. And like, it's diamond. That's it. Because I can't imagine being like a June, I think it is, that has like four different mm-hmm. options.
Yeah.
Well, and that just brings it back to, like, birthstones are all made up and the points don't matter. But as 90s babies, they mattered a lot for some reason.
They did.
Mood rings and birthstones, man. That's what we lived on.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I'm familiar with, my mom really likes birthstones as mm-hmm. well. And so, like, my sister and I had rings, and she had an emerald ring that had, like, little diamonds around it because mm-hmm. she's emerald and I'm diamond. And I had one that was not a real diamond because it was going to obviously be way too expensive to get it for the size that we wanted it for the ring, for it to be like the center stone, which I don't care. I'm actually kind of happy nowadays it wasn't a diamond. But like, it was some sort of, you know, high quality other stone that looks like a diamond.
Probably cubic zirconium.
Yeah, probably. And then it was surrounded by like emeralds and she still wears her ring. I don't, I think it's because it doesn't fit right now. Like, I'm also just so bad at wearing rings, but yeah, so like we were like very, very into them, but yeah, my mom is June. And so June is always like difficult because it was like at the time Pearl was the big one for June.
I remember Pearl being that. Yeah.
Yeah, which similar to Opal, I believe. No, Opal, is Opal a stone or is Opal
Let me look it up because Opal's a little weird.
I believe Opal's.
It's like it's a stone created from water. So it is a hydrated and porous form of silica. Whatever that means. What is
sand?
What is it for us? What is this? Condensed matter physics, material science. Okay. yeah. So it kind of doesn't cut like a gemstone. You know what I mean? It doesn't cut like a diamond.
Yeah.
It's always rounded. It's always in a cabochon form.
Yeah.
And it's iridescent. So like it's literally just like an iridescent top coat. And you've got over like a milky white and you've got an opal. Oh, man, I kind of want to do that now. That sounds really pretty.
It does sound really pretty. June is like that. So like my mom has a ring with like a pearl in the middle, which is like weird to have a pearl in the middle of a ring.
It's so so bulky. I hate bulky.
Yeah.
Rings. I like it when they're flush to your skin because they just catch on everything. But anyway. Yeah. What are all the birthstones?
Shannon's ring's actually very bulky and does catch on stuff.
Yeah, they've got pearl, alexandrite, which is what Holotaco went with, and moonstone. So it's kind of weird, like two, I would argue, similar-ish looking stones, and then alexandrite kind of out of nowhere. Maybe it was July that had four. So I'm very curious, like, oh no, July is ruby. It seems like there's no contest there. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. I think she did a great job coming up with the color story. I think they all are very unique, and yet they do look like a jewelry box altogether, which is wonderful. That's kind of, you know, if you're going to have gemstones, that makes the most sense. But I think the one that really stole the show is probably March's, the aquamarine. Oh my goodness. Happily Ever Aqua is what it's called. It's a linear holo, which love to see that formula coming back, with a cyan shimmer. So, oh, she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous. I love it.
I think she's boring.
You think she's boring? I love linear holos.
I do. I mean, I like linear holos too, but yeah, I respect your opinion on this.
I just think, like, colorway, I haven't seen this from Holotaco before. Everything else, we have seen that color before.
Yeah, I do like that it has a shimmer. I'm not really seeing the shimmer too much, but I think I do see how it interacts with the polish to make the color. Like, I think I understand where the shimmer is. I'm just not, like, seeing it with my eyes. Yeah. But, you know, this is, you like this color, and I don't like this color.
Okay, well, yeah, that's all I'm, that's what's special about this polish. Like, Gosh Garnet, we have seen multichromes before, and they're great from Holotaco.
Yeah.
Crystal Mommy, mm-hmm. we had the entire remix collection that was all purples. I'm so mm-hmm. sick of purples. It's beautiful, though, but it's just another purple to me. Rider Diamond, I'm not gonna lie, Rainbow Snow already covered the Silver Hollow. This one obviously has a few extra bits, but, you know, we've seen this color before. Emerald City, though. I'll say Emerald City is unique. I'm trying to think. Night Owl kind of went this colorway, but a definitely more blue. So, yeah, Emerald City is the other, I'd say, unique one for Holotaco. Of course, they have the Lost in the Woods, the dark emerald green linear holo. The Price is alexandrite. It's another multichrome. We've seen that. Ruby Madly Deeply, it's red. Parrot Don't Bother Me, I'm excited about this one's formula, and I think the color is really fun, but again, I feel like the multi-chrome collection, we've already gotten this shift. Playing with Sapphire mm-hmm, is a mm-hmm. nice, beautiful sapphire blue. It's, I think, color wise comparable to House of Hades, which I know is Mooncat, not Holotaco, but yeah, that one looks really gorgeous. But, like, surely we've had a blue before. Yeah, in the linear collection. I'm looking up at it. Topaz Tears. That's the other one. So poor November babies don't seem to like their birthstone before. What's wrong with yellow? Y'all don't like yellow? Christine did call it a piss stone. That made Sun mad.
She would.
I think this is a beautiful compromise. It reminds me of Bigfoot Believes in You from Night Owl Lacquer.
Yes!
Which I love that polish. So I'm very excited. And then Tanzanite Away. Does this not look like Existential Crisis?
Yes.
Yeah. So
it does.
Anyone who missed out on Existential Crisis, I feel like this will scratch that itch. The blue reflective in this one is really cool. But anyway, yeah. I think that the aqua is the newest color from Holotaco.
It is so funny that you mentioned Christine calling that a piss stone mm-hmm. because somebody in the Discord was like, I wish I could be classy like Christine. And I was like who?
Like who? Yeah. She has toned it down a lot since releasing Holotaco. But yeah, she's got a potty mouth and she says whatever she wants to say.
Yeah, they still absolutely say whatever they want to say. And, like, no shade. I've never heard them say something that was, like, so offensive that I couldn't stand by them or anything. But, like, I'll listen to the podcast sometimes, very rarely, because I don't like it. And I'm just like, shut up.
Yeah.
You don't know anything.
Yeah, I listen to in the beginning an episode every now and then, and I was like, I'm not interested in what you have to say. I have really...
Especially Ben.
I have really separated Christine from Holo Taco, weirdly enough. I do think of them. Yeah. Obviously, they're one and the same, but they're not. Holo Taco is Christine filtered. And I like filtered Christine. She just needs to run through a little reverse osmosis. And I really like what comes out. So I obviously support her by buying from her brand and all that kind of stuff. But I do think of Holo Taco as a separate entity. It has its own personality at this point, as it should. That's good branding, right? Is to let the brand grow in the direction it's going to grow. Because Holo Taco is now available in Ulta stores, select Ulta stores across the U.S. And I did see just a tiny bit of drama about that. People were like, why would she do that as a Canadian creator? And it's like, well, Holo Taco is an American company. Like, it's in America. So it's, again, it's kind of forging its own path with her at the helm, but it's doing its own thing. So it's interesting to watch how it all develops.
What a weird thing to be annoyed about.
Yeah. any little thing that is done on the internet.
Yeah.
People are gonna
have an opinion about it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Sometimes, especially this weekend, I have been one of those people.
Yeah. You tied your hair back and you went, you sent that email.
I went, I am the drama today, actually.
I think you're perfectly justified.
So I have been vexed this weekend, and I have been vexed, unfortunately, by a shop I really love, a collab shop. It's like a Polish Pickup. So basically, every month they open, and they have a theme, and, you know, different nail polish brands come in, and they give polishes for the theme. Now, this collab is called Little Box of Horrors. So I had heard about it for a while, and now the thing with the horror genre, as with almost any genre, is that you're going to have things that you like and you don't like. So they used to not come out every month. It used to be like every quarter, every few months or something like that, and they would choose a theme, and I wouldn't always shop it because sometimes it was just a theme that I didn't care about at all. It would be like a movie franchise. It'd be like Friday the 13th. And I'd be like, I don't even know what I would want from that. So like, I wouldn't even go. And I do think that that is the problem with having such a limited, theme for a shop. However, being a horror fan, it was really exciting for me when they had stuff like 70s horror and 80s horror. And the first time I actually ever bought from it was a Rocky Horror Picture Show collab. And that was just incredible. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. And it was just so exciting to see so many different polishes, and especially to see, like, there's one that I can't give you the name of the polish because it has a curse word in it. But like, Rocky Horror is known for people performing it on stage while the movie is running. And there are these like shout outs people do, these callbacks they do to the screen. And somebody used one of my favorite callbacks, which is not a particularly well-known callback. It's not like one that like, it's not one that just like some random Samaritan would know. it was a pretty specific one, and I was like so excited about it, but it was a mauve, so I didn't buy it.
At the end of the day, it was a mauve.
At the end of the day, it was a mauve, and that does fit into the story a bit, but it's not completely removed from this story. I wonder if it was a Sassy Cats.
It might.
That would have been, that'd be a twist. That'd be pretty funny. It came from the same vat. Sassy Cats has one big vat of polish with a spigot at the bottom, and they don't shake it. Mm-hmm. And that's how they release their polishes. They just pour it out until it starts changing color. And then they say, oh, there's the cap.
Yep. That's how it works. They top it off with a little more mauve.
Yep. They're like, not quite dusty purple enough. Let's get in there. But anyway, so this time the theme was, it was international was actually part of the theme. So there was some international, but most importantly, anime and manga. I love anime. I love manga. And I love horror, and I have many anime and horror mangas that I really, really love. So I was like super excited about it. And I went to the website, and the first thing I saw was a big old Pokemon collection, a collection by one brand, a full collection of like 6 polishes based on Pokemon.
Yeah.
And they weren't Lavender Town. They weren't Ghastly. They were like, there was a Misty polish.
Yeah.
I'm shaking in my boots. So scary. So yeah, and that's that was repeated just throughout the shop. There were numbers of collections, full collections, that were for things like One Piece. Of course, we had the Pokemon. We had so much Avatar: The Last Airbender.
Which what? Just blows my mind. Yeah. I don't understand what that's doing there.
By Danny Viana, knocked it out of the park for another collab. That is not this one.
Yeah.
Because she made a Yuri on Ice polish based off of the Agape skate outfit. It's one of my favorite animes of all time. She got it. She Danny Viana'd it. Nailed it. What is it doing here?
Yeah.
Because, okay.
Why is it in the box of horrors?
Yeah. Are you homophobic, Danny Viana? No, I don't think that Danny Viana is homophobic.
No.
But that's the only reason I can think that somebody would label it a horror anime. But yeah, so there were other things that were wrong as well. Mm-hmm. But I do want to bring up, I was so annoyed at this because I was going through all of these polishes and I was like, there are so many polishes that are off theme, whole collections of polishes that are not on theme. That what if I find a polish or don't find? What if I completely miss a polish that I would have gotten because I am just wading through all of this bloat, really? Mm-hmm. This just like stuff that shouldn't be here. So I was concerned enough that I said, I'm going to email the people who run the store because like this is like, I want this store to be what I want it to be. And I don't, do they know? Do they like,
yeah,
what's going on here?
Because you said that there was like 90 something products? That's so much to go through.
There were 93 products. Mm. So no, there were 93 items listed under polishes. When you click polishes, there are 93 items. 25 of those were the correct theme and were labeled well enough that I knew what the theme was. Because the thing is that was another problem, is that a lot of these descriptions were absolutely just abysmal. Mm. And this is something we occasionally see on polish pickup.
Yeah.
But absolutely not to this level. And I think one of the problems is that they allow these people to make these people. Mm. And I think that one of the problems is that they allow makers to release whole collections.
Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Editing Stephanie here. In this next section, I thought that the polish maker I was talking about was Rain Dance Lacquer, but it's actually Lily Pad Lacquer. So Rain Dance, if you're listening, sorry that I'm slandering your name. And everybody else, I'm not talking about Rain Dance Lacquer. I'm talking about Lily Pad Lacquer. Thank you. So one Rain Dance Lacquer, they had one of the better themed collections, but they didn't make it on my list of 25 because they had anime titles. But then in the description under inspiration, they wrote cartoon character. So there was Hellgirl, cartoon character. There was Helsing, cartoon character. Those are anime titles that are recognizable that you can go, okay, it's Hellgirl and Helsing.
Yeah.
But then it was Monster, cartoon character. I know there's an anime called Monster, but this isn't giving me enough to tell me that that's what that is.
Count Chocula is a monster. Like, you're not there.
Yeah. I would accept Count Chocula for anime. That would be anime in Japan. Very common. If you ask people in Japan what their favorite anime is, you're going to get something like SpongeBob.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it has a different meaning over there. But it has a fairly well-defined meaning over here. So
here.
What are we doing?
It does. Yeah, for sure. So yeah, there was that. And then there was one called Paprika. Paprika is an anime movie that I enjoy by one of my favorite creators who made a lot of stuff that I really, really love, including someone made a Perfect Blue polish. Mm. And Perfect Blue was made by the same creator, but they actually said, you know, what it was. They actually explained it and it fit really well. And if I buy anything from this collab, it's going to be that. Mm. But the point is that it said Paprika, cartoon character.
Yeah.
Is it Paprika, the baby from Blue's Clues? I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think she's a baby anymore. I think she grew up. But yeah.
She grew up?
Yeah, they have a whole
thing. They can do that?
Tangent time. We gotta look up. Let's see.
Tangent how do time, I Pat Blues, Frank, Clues.
They had more kids.
What?
Salt and Pepper.
It was
family.
Already a miracle okay, that Salt see. And Pepper could have.
Yeah. Oh my God. They have. Yeah. Paprika. Paprika's a teenager now because there's Cinnamon, her little brother, Sage, little sister, and Ginger, the littlest of them all. They are filling that spice cabinet. Mr.
They
Salt
really
and Mrs.
Are.
Pepper are going to town.
They, yeah, wow. I yeah. didn't realize they were so...
I didn't realize they were such a young couple in the show. You know what I mean? I didn't realize they were just starting their life out. I thought that they were, like, you know...
I thought that was their only chance.
Yeah. No, they're growing the spice. Oh, my God. You can buy salt and pepper shakers that have their little faces on it. That's so cute. Anyway,
wow. So yeah, congratulations to Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper. You've really been knocking it out of the park, I guess. I don't know. Congrats on your family. Yeah. I hope love and support to you and
beautiful.
Yours.
Absolutely beautiful.
It's absolutely beautiful.
Love is a spice
where
cabinet.
Where were we in the story? Love is a spice cabinet.
Okay, well, I want to make a Mr. Salt and Mrs. Pepper collection now. Anyway, I think that'd be really good for nail polish. We were talking about Little Box of Horrors.
We were. And we were talking about the abysmal name, not naming. And we're talking about how disappointing a lot of these descriptions on the mm-hmm. website are, and how they are not descriptive enough to, in my opinion, for me, hook fans.
Yeah.
And I would say very soon after the Rain Dance Lacquer, I moved on and I found, of course, channel favorite, Sassy Cats.
Yes.
They came at us out of the park with a mauve.
Didn't see it coming.
I want to say, call out for one of my mods, Gidge. They find the Sassy Cats, they send it to me, and they go, look, it's not mauve. And I'm like, Gidge.
It's dark mauve.
My sweet, sweet Gidge. It is dark mauve. So I take it and I put it next to a picture, like a Google, you know, image, whatever, of like a mauve that matches it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I post it. I posted in our conversation and then I add Jonathan Frakes tells you you're wrong for 47 seconds. So I was like, because the thing is that they released a green, but Gish sent me the mauve.
Yep.
And I'm like, you really did that?
The
and they were like,
right
yeah.
There. And the green was
the
another
green was right there.
Avatar the Last Airbender themed. And not even a scary part of the show, which we talked about this a little bit before we hit record. I was like, it's not a scary show. And you pointed out that there are scary moments, but that's not what any of these polishes are based on. They're just based on generally the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, almost all of the ones that were off topic were from really long standing shows like One Piece, like Naruto, like Avatar, things like that.
At least those first two are actually international pieces of media. Avatar is American.
Yes.
Like, it's still off
Avatar
topic,
is not technically anime.
As I love Avatar and I do classify it as an anime. It's not international. That is clear.
Yeah.
The anime label is a little bit fuzzy on that one, but the it is not international. It is American made. So why is it here? What is it doing here?
So yeah, Gidge sends that to me and I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, this polish, itsy bitsy, whatever. So then later on, I'm like, let's look through all of these and let's go shop the shop.
Yeah.
Let's go shop the shop and see what I like. So I'm going. I just get past the rain dance and go like, why is it, I can't buy this paprika polish. I don't know if it's the right paprika. This is probably Blue's Clues.
It's a Blue's
And then I get back to the Sassy Cats and I'm like, itsy bitsy, what is this themed off of? And so I go to the description and it says Kumuko, K-U-M-U-K-O. That's the whole thing. The inspiration, because they have a special inspiration section. You don't even have to integrate it into your description of the polish.
Yeah.
You could just write it all separate and it's really easy. Really easy to just say this from this. All you have to do. So I'm like, is that a horror anime? I haven't heard about it. So I Google it. Like, let me emphasize the amount of steps I did to find out what this was.
Yeah.
I Google it. It is a misspelling of the protagonist of one of my favorite horror anime. So I'm a spider, so what? And I was just like, they're Kumoko, which like kind of sounds the same as Kubako. But like, I'm like, I had to go through so much work mm-hmm. on a polish I didn't even like the look of to find out what it was and find out that I liked it. And I might not have even looked at it because I was just like, oh, that doesn't sound like it's horror. Itsy Bitsy doesn't sound like it's horror. Yeah. That doesn't sound like it's horror. A few of the makers included the inspo in the title. Mm-hmm. And I do really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Especially in this situation where you're like absolutely not sure if you're going to get anything that you want at all. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was so upset because like there's so many things going on there. First off, like I said, there's this bloated website with so many things that are off topic. Then there's a description that I can't recognize for the thing that I do like. And then thirdly, it is misspelled, which makes me feel like did the person, all they did was send in one word and they couldn't even spell check that one word. Like, it's kind of like sometimes rock stars will say, I don't want any green M&Ms in this bowl of M&Ms that I need you to provide.
Yeah.
And that is not because they're crazy or they're sticklers for M&Ms. That is literally a thing that people put into contracts to make sure that people are paying attention.
Yeah.
And I've actually heard of like the first band who started doing that. They did that because their equipment was so heavy that like if you didn't have an appropriate stage, it would break your stage.
Yeah.
And so one time they had the green M&Ms and then they went on stage because they were like, whatever, I'm sure it's fine. And it broke the stage. So when I see that,
yeah,
I see what else is falling through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And then also when we're on something like Little Box of Horrors, which for me, we'll get into that a little bit later, for me is like a very specific, like we're celebrating a genre, we're fans here kind yeah. of thing. It just says, have you watched this anime? Do you care about this anime? Did you look up horror anime and choose the cutest protagonist? Because she is the cutest protagonist. She's a spider. Yeah. So what? She's adorable. like, yeah, it gives me a lot of questions. And it's also really disappointing. Two times this spoopy season. Somebody has made a polish for something that I love and has clearly not known enough about it.
Yeah.
It happened with Suspiria with the wrong color and the wrong name. And it's happened now with So I'm a Spider, So What? And it's just so disappointing as like, I mean, obviously I am not an average consumer. I am so extra. So very extra. However, an average consumer is just going to go by Itsy Bitsy and say, I don't know what that is. And they're not even going to look into it. And they're not going to buy it because it's a boring mauve.
Yeah. And in that case, why bother shopping Little Box of Horrors? Because I completely agree with you. In polish pickup, we really judge polishes on how they look because that's kind of the main thing.
Yeah.
The theme is an afterthought and it's a bonus if it's a really cool connection to that theme. And we love seeing that, but that's not the main thing. Little Box of Horrors, based on its name alone, should tell you that that should be the main thing. We are here to celebrate things that we are fans of, that we love, in the form of polish, which is something that we do, and you do more than me, on our curated collections. Like, you can take this completely unrelated polish and describe why it represents a character. Why can't we see that more in this box, this very specialty box? So, yeah, I do have some thoughts on it, and I think it's a disappointment, even though I'm not even shopping Little Box of Horrors. It is like, well, this was your space. This was your chance to celebrate these things that you love, and you dropped the ball, in my opinion. You let too many things in my opinion. Like, we should not be launching entire collections in these monthly curated boxes, which are not even boxes, but that's what we call them. Just to clarify for anyone who's, yeah. who's confused, it's a pick and choose your own.
You don't have to buy them all.
You do not have to buy them all. Good gracious, please don't buy them all, because like 93 polishes. Is this... I really want to know. I want to get in there. I want to be a fly on the wall and know all the logistics, because is this creators taking advantage of like an easy logistics to launch their collections, which would be, you know, not great, shady, in my opinion. This fluff to try and make it a monthly box when it should be a quarterly thing? Is it the, you know, is it a contract thing where if you are signed up to be on Little Box of Horrors, you have to make a certain number of polishes, but you don't know the themes ahead of time, which I wouldn't sign that contract. You know what I mean? I'd be like, no, I need to know the themes way ahead of time so I can start creating and like researching and spelling things right. I'm very curious on kind of who's to blame here. Probably it's a little bit of everybody, but like, I really want to know how it works to get on one of these boxes.
Yeah. And I do want to point something out. And by the way, if for some reason the creators of Little Box of Horrors are listening, I do want to say that like this comes from a place of love. I sound very impassioned, but I want this box to succeed. So I want you to do whatever you need to do to succeed.
Yeah,
of course. But I also want it to be what I want it to be.
Yeah.
Because I'm selfish and a human.
Because if Little Box of Horrors is successful, that could open the door to other little boxes of fill-in-the-blank fandoms.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? And I'd love to see that because I have only bought outside of Polish Pickup twice, and it was because I loved the theme so much. I bought from Little Gamers Box or something like that, and it was because it was Star Wars theme.
Polished Gamers.
Polished Gamers Box, thank you. And it was because it was Star Wars. And then I bought from the Syzygy Boston and Geeky Bees because Geeky Bee did 90s and early 2000s animes that I love. So, like, themes are powerful. And making polishes that truly match that theme, it is a form of like, it's an art form and it's love, and it's, I would buy a polish I would never wear if the theme was strong enough, and I have several times.
yeah same. same. I do want to say about the 93 polishes, and the thing is that this is half of a like, well, you got to understand, and half this shouldn't be happening anyway. Why is this happening? Is that there is, and this is a huge oversight, this is a huge thing that they can do to make their website better. There is not a way to separate the new polishes from the, quote, reanimated ones, the ones that are being re-released, and the ones they didn't sell out last time, because they keep them, like, the polish pickup overstock. They do that, but there's a way to look at that. There's a way to look at reanimated, and I think there's a way to look at top and base coats. There isn't a way to just look at the polishes that are new. It's mind-boggling. And the thing is that I heard from somebody, and I do remember this. They used to, I said before, they used to be quarterly or something like that. They changed to monthly, and they think that they're very overwhelmed over there. And boy, can I relate.
Oh, yeah.
I have also overextended myself before. And realized after it was a mistake and I needed to go back. But this is a mistake and you need to go back.
Yeah, I completely agree. That's too much. That's too much to ask of creators. Because there's another thing when we talked, I always think about this with these monthly boxes and stuff. How early are they creating the polishes? Because when we interviewed Plus Life Lacquer, she's talking about how long the process is to test polishes to make sure you don't have formula issues. And so if you're trying to pump out a polish every month and you don't know the theme ahead of time and you just got to get something out there, are the quality, it's like you said, it's the green M&Ms, you know what I mean? Like, what's going on with the quality? I just worry about that.
Yeah, polish makers, just know that your descriptions, all of that stuff, those are green M&Ms. Those are the green M&Ms that you are feeding the audience. And now, like I said, a lot of people aren't as extra as me. They see the thing that they like and they just get it, and they don't sit there and dissect it and go on internet rabbit holes for a company they don't even like. they don't usually do that. But I'm an influencer. Today's an influencer. We do that.
Yep.
And you should have, like, I hate to say this, you should have more respect for your art and your craft.
Yeah.
You worked hard on that polish.
And there again, I have to wonder, did they send in a beautiful description that just didn't get posted because the people running the site are overwhelmed and they're just like, they auto-filled cartoon character and then meant to go back and fill it in. I don't know. I want to know.
We don't know.
Like, what happened there?
Anyway, so to round out this story, I do want to say that I did message Little Box of Horrors. I did message them. And the first message, I was just talking about how the website was hard to get through, how I really appreciated how it used to be, and that, you know, I was worried I was going to skip over something that I really wanted to buy because I was just wading through so much stuff that was unrelated. So I got an email back, very polite, thanking me for reaching out to them and saying, you know, just keep in mind, please, that this is also a fantasy, sci-fi, and mystery box. Which, like, it was kind of like, okay, all right, I didn't know that, but also, it's not advertised well.
No.
That is what this is.
Yeah.
And so I'm still pretty, and I told them, I was like, because I messaged them back and I said, oh, okay, yeah, I didn't know that. And, you know, it is a bit disappointing, but I understand. And something I do want to say before I move on is that I realized while we were talking about this, we still got two big, because there's two polishes, two big Yuri on Ice problems. Those are not any of those things.
Yeah.
That's just Yuri on Ice. Love Yuri on Ice. One of my favorite. I have watched that anime about 5 times. One of them was a marathon in a theater. I love that anime, but it doesn't belong here. Anyway, so they said that they would pass it along to the creators. And I was like, should I mention the descriptions? I feel like if I mention it, it's just going to be like, you know, it's pouring salt on the wound or something. Then finally, I'm like, you know what? No. If I was running this site, I would really want to know about this. Yeah. I would really want to hear this. I mean, I probably wouldn't want to hear this feedback. I'd probably be like, don't be mean to me. I'm trying so hard. But I do. And again, people who run Little Box of Horrors, I see you. You are trying so hard. I couldn't do that.
Yeah. No. And I hope we're not coming across too, like, it's criticism out of love. It's criticism because I want it to be better, because I want more boxes like this. I want more love in the nail polish community. But yeah, I couldn't do it. No, thank you.
Yeah. No, would not do it. Would absolutely not. So very big kudos to you. I've gotten polishes from your boxes, even when I've been a little frustrated by the website, and been very grateful for them. But yeah, the point is that I sent them the message back saying, oh, you know, there was something that I forgot to mention. And if you are sending this along to creators, I really hope that you do. And so I did tell them about, you know, what I was thinking about those other polishes. And they sent me another one back. And I said at the end, I was just like, you know, I'm sorry. Like, thank you so much for listening to me. I'm just really passionate about, like, polish and horror and anime, and, like, put a little laughy face. So hopefully they would understand that, yeah. Like, I don't hate them. And they were really nice. They were like, oh, no, I love your passion. Thank you so much. And then they said they were going to correct the misspelling on the So I'm a Spider, So What polish. So I hope that they make some changes. It's a pretty disappointing website, and I know that you are not doing horror themed. I'm all horror themed. I'm guessing that that is because they made it monthly, and it is very hard even to get horror fans. There's plenty of horror fans who don't watch any anime at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if you're only releasing once, so if you're releasing this once a month and these creators have to come up with a new horror thing every month, and maybe they're not into horror, maybe they're not into 70s horror, maybe they're not into 90s horror, like, horror is a very big genre. There's a lot of fans that are into different things. I really think that their best option, in my humble opinion of a person who doesn't run the shop and doesn't rely on it for money, in my subjective opinion, is they should go back to a quarterly or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
All right. Well, that was quite the rant, but I'm just so passionate about it because these boxes are what I do in this hobby now.
Mm-hmm.
It's really all we do. But why don't we oil our cutes? And when we come back, we are going to answer an audience question. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, it's Stephanie, and we have a bit of a sad announcement. The Two Lacquered Ladies Patreon has been shut down. This was a tough decision, but Danny and I feel that we just don't have enough spoons to give our patrons, or as we call them, our lackeys, the amount of attention and consistency that they deserve. So we're closing up shop for now. Thank you to everybody who supported us in the Patreon. You may no longer be our lackeys, but we still bow to you. Now, back to the show. Right, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving and we are ready. Danny is being a little crab over there, as she is wont to be.
Letting the oil drip down. So oily, yes. My fingers. I love it.
Yes, I am also oily. I did oil, believe it or not. But we are going to answer a question from Allie. Danny, will you read us the question?
Yes. Allie asks, if you wake up in a fictional world or universe, example Star Trek universe, Middle Earth, Ponyville, where are you?
Where are we? Realized as you asked, where am I right now? Who am I? What's happening?
Oh, having a little existential crisis.
We're having a big one, baby. I just realized that I had intended to think about what the answer would be. And this has been in the Discord for like a week or two. Yeah. And I was wondering then, and I was like, I got to figure that out. And I still have not. So I'm going to put, I feel like Danny probably knows already.
I just got excited when Ponyville got listed as an option alongside Middle Earth. Because I just don't feel like Ponyville gets that much love. And I'm going to Ponyville, baby. I want to be a pretty pony prancing around. Because that's the thing. Who are we just us in these universes? Because Middle Earth, absolutely not. I'd be dirty all the time. There's no nail polish. I would be, I'd be some peasant wife. No. just get eaten by orcs one day. No.
Some peasant wife.
Yeah. Star Trek, same thing. I'm a grub. I work at a desk. Or something on the holodeck. I don't know. I don't like Star Trek. But Ponyville.
Well, the Star Trek universe is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because outside of Star Trek, there's space socialism. And it's just like the world, but better.
Yeah, which I guess sounds nice, but also boring. You know?
Yeah.
You know, because I'd just be.
It's safe, though.
I'd be a citizen. Yeah, Star Trek's probably the safe option, right? But yeah, I'm going to go with Ponyville because everybody's cute. The conflicts mm-hmm. even are still cute. The monsters are still cute. It's just a nice time. You get into peril every now and then, but then there's these six ponies who are going to come save you. I'm obviously going off of not the latest edition of Ponies. I haven't watched that one at all, if it's even come out. What is it? Generation 3? I don't know what I'm talking about. The one with Twilight Sparkle. That one.
That one.
That one. The one everybody thinks of. That's the one I'm picturing.
The one, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I would live in Ponyville or the capital, but it would be a good time no matter what I'm doing. I guess I'd sell hoof polish. I'd be a little hoof polish shop owner. So cute.
Yes. It would sell too. Everyone wants to look cute in the pony universe.
Yeah. Rarity would be in there every week and it would be fantastic.
Absolutely. I love this for you. I am here.
I'm a happy pony.
You're just a happy pony. You're just a pony. Hubs and I listen to this band, this artist called Aviators, and he makes like a lot of video game music and stuff like that.
Yeah.
However, if you like find a playlist of all of his songs, he started off, of course, as a pony.
A lot of good music came out of the brony, the pony fandom. It's kind of impressive. I don't know why it attracted so many good musicians, but good for them. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's amazing. Sorry, little tangent time. My favorite thing is that he has a cover of Last Christmas with a bunch of his other, like, I think they're mostly also other brony artists. And they made their own little boy band to sing Last Christmas. And it is the most precious thing.
I love that. Right?
so cute. All right. So as we were sitting here, I was like, where would I want to go? And then I was like, oh, I know exactly where I'd want to go. However, it's going to be so extremely niche and unknown by anybody. And if they do know it, they're either going to be like, yes, or they're going to be like, Stephanie, what is wrong with you? This is okay, everybody. We were thinking about answering two questions, but I think we're gonna not do that because I'm gonna have to take a moment to even give you an idea.
Yeah, you're gonna.
And I don't even know
context.
How I'm gonna make
Where
this
are we?
appropriate for the context or appropriate for the podcast. Danny, you actually know about this world a little bit because I gave you the book. I would want to be in Terre d'Ange. In the Cushiel's Dart universe. I know there's a word for it. So this is a series that starts off with the book Cushiel's Dart. It is by Jacqueline Carey. And this is a erotic fantasy novel, which I would say it is equal. I would say it's more fantasy than eroticism, but the eroticism is absolutely central to the plot. And so Terre d'Ange, if you want to be more French, is an alternate universe, France, where they worship a different deity that is related to Jesus and all of that, but is just a different thing. And I don't want to get too into it because it's made people uncomfortable before. Mm. But yeah, they worship a different deity and all of his disciples. And basically, there's a few things that happen in Terre d'Ange. If you're d'Angeline, which is the person who's from Terre d'Ange, and who I would be, it's what I would want to be in this world. they have a few things about them. One thing is that they cannot get pregnant without lighting a candle and praying basically to one of their gods. And they cannot contract sexually transmitted disease. Very, very convenient for this kind of story.
Yeah.
Exceedingly convenient. Love to see it. Love to hear about it. And that is a thing that, like, there are people who are not from Terre d'Ange. They are not d'Angeline. This is specific to the d'Angeline people. Other people do not have this. Mm. And they have problems because, you know, women will mate with the d'Angelines and they'll be like, oh, no. things have happened. But anyway, so it's a very, very cool place in a lot of ways. And sexuality is just very accepted with these people. The main character is a courtesan, and she uses a very specific set of skills to be a total bad A. she's really cool. She's just very good at spying, basically, and she knows a lot of ways to do it. But she also has a lot of, like, she develops physical capabilities, things like that. And as a courtesan, she's part of this houses of courtesans, and all the houses are themed after different disciples of their god, their main god figure. And so there's like Eglantine House. Eglantine House is the artists. They're poets, they're visual artists, they're theater people, things like that. That's a house I might be involved in. There is like another one that's about money and gambling. There's another one that's about healing. And they're not named after the disciples. It's just they all have different ideas about why one disciple slept with this one guy. obviously, everything I'm into has so many different layers. But anyway, the house that I would be actually, that I think I would be, is called Orcus House. And their tagline is joy and laughter. Mm. And they think that this lady slept with this guy for fun, for funsies, just for a laugh. And basically, the idea is that you go there and you just have a really good time. And there's this really beautiful scene where this one guy who's very traumatized goes there and he's just like very happy for like the next week because like he just had such a good time there. He just had a wholesome, nothing dirty going on. Good time there. So yeah, it's I really love the story. I love all three books. The third book is extremely hard to get through. I was listening to it, and if I hadn't listened to it, I probably would have stopped, but at the same time, it was just so incredibly powerful. But yeah, I want to be in alternate reality, Renaissance France. you know, like just going to my weird temples, doing my weird stuff with my weird friends, getting a big old tattoo on my back, because that's what they do.
As you do.
And yeah, I would be in Terre d'Ange from Jacqueline Carey's Cushiel's Dart series.
And I'd be a pony. Very, very different answers.
Very love different answers. Do you have a secondary one, Danny? Do you have like a backup?
Gosh, any fantasy world, that is such a big pool to choose from. There's got to be one that fits me, right? I mean, I'm okay. We've talked about it a lot already, but Avatar the Last Airbender, if I get to be a bender. I'm sorry. I love Sokka. I love the non-bender characters, but that sucks. If you're in that world and you can't make fire come out of your hand, and that's really the only one I'd want to be is a firebender. So yeah, if I get to be a firebender, Avatar the Last Airbender, because that's cool.
That is very cool. I'm stuck between Middle Earth and Star Trek, TBH. Because Star Trek just sounds nice.
Exactly. Star Trek sounds nice and safe, assuming you're not on the ship. And honestly, even if you're on the ship, as long as you're not a red shirt, you're good. I think that's the joke, right? I've never really watched it.
Yeah, it is a joke. It's a joke. You're correct.
Middle Earth, explain that one to me, because I can't get behind that. I love Lord of the Rings. We actually just finished. Did we finish? We're getting through the Rings of Power series, and it's all right. But yeah, I love Lord of the Rings. I would never want to be there. Everybody's dirty all the time. Food looks bad. Like, why? Why, Steph?
Okay, well, first off, you're wrong.
Listen, I like tomatoes as much as the next guy, but...
You don't have to be Denethor's tomato, okay? You don't have to even come in contact with the man. First off,
but there's no time.
There are elven groups that are not dirty and they're very pretty.
And pretentious.
They have magic.
Yeah. And they think they're better than everyone else. Let's be real. I'd be a dwarf.
I know. Well, me too, because I wouldn't be a dwarf. Although dwarf is my preferred, it's my preferred fantasy gender, is being a dwarf. But, like, I just don't agree. I just don't agree that all the food.
No, not
in
all the Hobbit, food.
Or in Lord of the Rings looks bad.
No, not all the food. But it's medieval food. Which, okay, some good bread. Okay, cool. That's it. That's all that there is for me. I don't... I'd be missing my sushi. Well,
there's bread and sausages and potatoes and
I wouldn't eat
fresh...
the sausage.
What?
I don't eat a lot of meat. Meat grosses me out. Oh, and that's all I think of when I think of like medieval time meals is it's always a lot of like meat. And I'm just like, especially like game meat and stuff. Like it disgusts me. So yeah, I'd eat the bread and then die. Because I don't have any citrus. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I
understand.
I'm very turned off by living in that world.
I think that if I were in Middle Earth, I would be a hobbit in the Shire. And I think I would be so much more healthy than I am right now.
I did somehow manage to forget about the hobbits.
How did you?
I don't know. Okay. But you're right. You're right. Okay. If I got to be a hobbit in the Shire, still dirty. But you're right. The food is way better.
The food is, they've got great food. They love food. They love comfort. But you can also, like, I'm not going to go on a Bilbo-style adventure.
Yeah.
But you could go on a little adventure. You could do a little adventuring. A little adventure. And, yeah, it just seems so nice and, like, obviously everybody's got grudges and stuff and everyone's a bunch of B words because they are. But like, that's the same here. And yeah, like just like you can't watch like the scene with like the dwarves and Bilbo, and that's what Bilbo Baggins hates, and think that food looks gross. There's so much cheese.
I gotta be honest. I have been warped because I've been watching Rings of Power that does not focus on the hobbits at all. Like they're in there, and I love the scenes with, and they're not even, they're proto hobbits or something. There's some weird pre-hobbit thing. It focused so much on the elves and the orcs who are extra nasty. I love orcs. I do. I think that they're, you know, a sympathetic villain, especially after Rings of Power.
Yeah.
But it's gross and I'm just tired of it. And it shows the dwarves a lot, which the dwarves have a really cool, like, city and stuff in their mountains. But it's still...
They usually do.
It just, it's still all dirty looking to me. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's understandable.
So I managed to talk about Lord of the Rings and completely forget about the Shire. Touche. If I could live in the Shire. You're right. My bad.
There you go.
My bad.
Yeah, you know, we would be giving up a lot.
Yeah.
We probably could figure out nail polish in some capacity.
Yeah.
But we would be giving up a lot, but I think we would gain a lot as people.
I know that the hobbits have their own meme culture. I know that they do. So we'll be all right.
They got the pipe weed.
Yeah.
They got the jokes. They got the second breakfast.
Yeah.
Like.
Elevensies.
How much more can you ask for? Elevensies? Afternoon tea?
Okay, you're right. I forgot about hobbits. That was my bad. My public apology. I would be a hobbit in the Shire eating six meals a day with you.
I just cracking up that you forgot about the Shire. It's amazing.
Well, because honestly, a lot of the Lord of the Rings is them running around in the woods too. You're right. We don't have to go on those adventures. That's all I was thinking of, but we don't have to.
But Bilbo and Frodo and the friends are like almost ostracized by the rest of the community because the other hobbits are like, no adventures for me. Thank you very much.
I know what's out there and I don't like it.
I'm going to stay here in the Shire. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I was just picturing like being me in that world. And if I'm, like I said, just a human peasant, then absolutely not. But if I get to check the box that says Hobbit, okay, we can talk.
Yeah.
I'll get over the feet. I'll figure out a way to get over it.
We will figure out a way to get over the feet. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that... All right. Y'all, I do think that's enough for today. Too much, perhaps.
I have to live with my shame of forgetting about hobbits and the Shire.
Think about what you've done.
I was so focused on the mud and the humanness and orc side of things. Anyway... Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube. I am Fanaticure. She is Danny Shout. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time when we're transported to our least favorite fantasy world.
Stay lacquered.